We're back. Truth News Radio Australia is back on the airwaves. And we have a really, really important interview today on the 1st of May 2011. I'm bringing you an interview with Anthony Hall, radiographer from Manchester in the UK, who has spoken out against the use of X-ray body scanners at the airports in the UK. And he wrote a really excellent article for the Manchester Evening News on April 12th of 2011. And he's agreed to come on the show and discuss his views, and he's got an expert opinion. And I want this information to get out to everyone. I want everyone in Australia to understand the threats with this technology. So I'm really looking forward to bringing you this interview. My name's Hereward Fenton, and we'll be talking to Anthony shortly. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Well, the question of airport body scanners and the civil rights issues, the whole issue of the way in which the threat of terrorism has been used to enforce procedures which basically reduce the freedoms that we are accustomed to over many, many decades, this has become one of the key issues, I think, in terms of the reduction of freedoms generally in the world. And there's been a huge flood of information come out in the last year due to the introduction of these scanners, first of all, in the United States, following the famous underwear bomber, which, of course, provided the trigger for the introduction of the machine, since the man was concealing explosives in his underwear. And, of course, the machines were all there ready to go. And the Department of Homeland Security latched on to this as a solution to the problem. And of course, in America, we have the alternative, which is the pat down, which is described by many people as a form of sexual assault. And that is creating an equally significant problem in terms of civil liberties and real invasion of rights. So this whole area of airport security has become a sort of a nexus of questions and issues surrounding human freedom. But of course, we know that the procedures that they will apply in airports could easily be extended to other forms of where there's ever a large gathering of people. So it could easily be introduced in shopping malls. It could be introduced in movie theaters. It could be introduced in restaurants. It could be introduced in buses, trains. There is really no reason why you would just restrict it to one particular area. And that is why, again, it is so important that we understand the significance of these technologies and procedures that are being used. Now, today, it's my great honor to have on the show Anthony Hall from the UK, who's written an excellent article for the Manchester Evening News just last month. There's no such thing as a safe X-ray. Hospital radiographer blasts naked body scanners at Manchester Airport. Now, Anthony, thanks so very much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, look, I believe that what you're doing and people like you is incredibly important, especially because there are so few people like yourself who are qualified and knowledgeable who are taking a stand on this. We've seen different groups of people. I mean, we had a group called WeWon'tFly.com that was started last year in the US that kind of built a bit of a surge of public awareness, and they actually stopped using the scanners for a while. I went to the US in January of this year, and there was no scanners in operation. I went from LA to Dallas and flew out through JFK, not a single scanner. But now I'm seeing the scanners are back in use everywhere. There's been a story of a six-year-old girl who was molested. And there was a story of course, that's a separate issue. We know the molestation, the groping is a separate issue from the scanners, but it's interconnected because some people who go through the scanners are also selected for the enhanced pat down. And just recently, Miss America was because she elected not to go through the scanner, was given the enhanced pat-down. So the whole issue around this is really exploding now. And very keen to know everything that you have to tell us about what's happening in the UK.
Well, at the moment in the UK, they've rolled out the scanners into only three of our major international airports. They are in Glasgow, London Heathrow, soon to be Gatwick, and Manchester International Airport. And now in the UK, as you go through security, they are still saying it's in a trial period, so it is a random selection process. As you walk through security, if you set off the metal detectors or anything like that, or if they just pick you out of the line and you are selected for a scan, you must go through the scanner. There is no opt-out policy.
I see.
And I myself was selected for a scan, and I said, I don't want the scan. I want to opt out. And they said, no, you can't. You just won't travel. Got threatened with armed police.
Straight away? Were you threatened more or less straight away? Did they immediately how was it actually dealt with? I mean, did you set off the metal detector initially? Did you have coins in your pocket? Was it something like that?
No. I make a point not to set off the metal detectors when I travel to the airport. I travel quite consciously.
Sure.
I will literally wear tracksuit bottoms with no metal, because usually I fly quite a distance if I go on holiday.
Sure.
So I make a very, very big conscious effort not to wear anything that'll set off the metal detectors, basically because I just want to get through security as quick as I can.
Sure.
Nobody likes queuing at the end of the day, but I didn't set off any detectors in any way, shape or form. They just ferried us to one side, and it seemed like they were passing off, but I stood there and watched, and their random selection was very unrandom, if you ask me. It appeared to me that everyone who was travelling through that particular terminal was going through these X-ray body scanners.
So they were pushing large numbers of people through them. How quick is the process of going through the scanners?
Quite quick. I mean, to do the scan itself only takes about 30 seconds.
Right, right.
So it is a lot quicker than a pat-down. But, again, I'd rather be my personal preference, I'd rather be patted down for 2 minutes than receive a whole body dose of ionizing radiation.
And this is the X-ray backscatter technique rather than the millimeter wave technique, is that correct?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, at the moment, the UK don't have the millimeter wave technique, which doesn't use ionizing radiation. And a bit like an MRI scanner, there's no known long-term health risks from the millimeter wave scanner.
Oh, I see. I think it takes a little longer to go through those ones. And they're actually in a kind of a glass booth, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it
does take longer to receive an image from those, because it picks up the waves that are emitted naturally by the human body. So it does take longer to read, to get a whole body scan reading than just blasting you with X-rays.
Yeah, and I imagine the X-ray backscatter has been chosen as the technology of preference because it's quicker, and because obviously that extra time delay, probably quicker, and it's probably cheaper too, and of course the time delay of forcing people to go through the safer technology would then just create the giant queues, which would be more of a problem. But of course they both have the problem of invasion of privacy, they both have the problem of medical effects. Now, I mean, you're a radiographer, you've got a BSc in science, and you're a practicing radiographer. Now, can you possibly explain to us in just general language that most of us could understand what you see as the real threat to human life with this technology? And if you can also possibly counter the assurances that are given by governments and health authorities who say they've done studies, and what your opinion of those studies that say these things are safe.
I mean, basically, the main terms of ionizing radiation, wherever it's used, is the main dangers behind these scanners are things called stochastic effects. Now, the government and everything like that, and the Radiation Protection Authority, are saying that the dose giving the amount of it doesn't give you the amount of radiation produced, but it says that the dose received by the radiation is low and well within and well below the normal standard, like the national average and things like that, which is fair enough. Yes, the radiation dose may be lower and may be within safe limits, but it is an additional extra man-made dose. This is a dose that is completely avoidable. Cosmic rays, things like that, which they say give you a higher dose, are not avoidable. You take the risk of travelling around about outside every day, and you can't do anything about that. This is man-made, and it can result in a stochastic effect. No matter how low the dose is of radiation received, there runs a risk of a stochastic effect happening. There is no threshold dose.
Can you explain the meaning of stochastic, just for our listeners? Yeah.
Stochastic is, it just means kind of random. It comes from statistically, so it comes from round about the terms of you have 1 in a million chance of being run over by a bus if you cross the road with one eye shut, or it's based on statistics, as in things that have been done in testing radiation and things like that.
I see. So it's a sort of a there's a probability that
yeah.
You could,
if you think about it as yeah. a lottery, that's the easiest way to see a stochastic effect is an absolute lottery. So you might go through and be fine, you might go through again and be fine, you might go through again, and then the radiation's acted with your DNA and caused a mutagen to occur.
And just getting maybe into that technical level a bit more, the what can actually happen is that the radiation can interact with your genetic material, and it can actually cause a random mutation. Is that what can happen?
It interacts on a atomic level, like on a DNA level.
Right.
And one of three things basically happens. The radiation passes through the body and nothing happens. It's absorbed and there's no harm done. Okay.
Right.
The next thing that can happen is the radiation totally kills and destroys the cell. The third thing that can happen is the radiation hits the cell, and then it causes the DNA makeup to change, which causes the mutagen.
I see.
Now, the thing is this DNA, this mutagen, this genetic effect may not be seen for within your lifetime. It could be seen in the next generation. So it could be seen in your children, this genetic effect.
Wow. Okay. That's very hard to quantify, isn't it? Really, the risk.
Yeah. And that's the thing with stochastic effects, is because no matter how much they irradiate the general public, you will never be able to prove that that stochastic effect was a result of that scan.
Yeah, I mean, how does this compare with, say, the radiation you get just by going up in a plane? How does it compare with that?
The radiation compared to going up in a plane, yeah, you receive more cosmic radiation from long-haul flights and things like that. Anything above 30,000 feet, you do receive more of a radiation dose. But the type of radiation received, yes, it's still ionizing and things like that, but it's different. It's of different strengths.
Right.
Radiation right. and things like that. So again, you might get a higher rate. I've personally had a radiation dose badge stupidly left in my bag.
Right.
That I've carried through. And every month we have to submit a reading. And that radiation dose badge didn't come back with any reading whatsoever.
Okay. That's interesting.
But I know that I would have received radiation from that, but the dose that was received was nothing. I went through, a colleague of mine went through the body scanners with the radiation dose badge on, and was just literally waiting another couple of weeks before we get the overall reading back.
Oh, that's really interesting. Really keen to find out what that was. Now, what do you say to the claim that the type of radiation, because it interacts at the skin level, is different to a whole body dose, and that it may actually be more dangerous because it is actually kind of focused on the skin level? This is something that I've read.
If the scan said that it'll penetrate anything from 1 millimeter up to 1 centimeter into the skin.
Right.
And the thing is, with the difference between normal normal radiation. I use the term normal radiation quite loosely, but in the terms of sort of like background radiation or even medical radiation used, we try and aim for the radiation to pass through the body. It has to penetrate all the way through the body and be attenuated.
Right.
These scans, because they use backscatter radiation, it doesn't contribute to anything. Yes, they give an image, but the only thing it contributes to is an overall skin dose.
I see, yeah, yeah.
So while a wrist x-ray or a chest x-ray, yes, might use more radiation, the overall dose of that examination would be a lot less over the whole body dose than what these scans offer. And I think that's very misleading, the way they're saying that the dose is a lot less than a medical exposure and things like that. Yeah, depending on the medical exposure, it would be less, but you're radiating the whole body on a skin level. And you have radiosensitive organs just below the skin level.
Yeah.
You have the thyroid, you have the sternum, where blood cells are produced. And you also have, sort of like in males, you have the gonad region where the sperm cells are produced, which is getting a dose of radiation again.
So it's really like a gigantic experiment that they're doing, isn't it? I mean, because this is a new technology. It's doing things that it's quite different to a normal medical x-ray, which I guess we've had enough research over the years to know a bit about what the risks of that are. But this is a new type of thing, and they're doing it on a scale. I mean, if they get their way, they'll be doing it on a scale which is just staggering. And it will take us decades to find out the true result.
I mean, does feel like a bit of an experiment. Yes, the technology and the science is there to suggest that if I was to go through the scanner, yes, my risk might be very, very low. They might even call it minuscule, things like that. But when you're radiating in America, 138 million people a year, Manchester Airport alone, 18.5 million people a year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the general public. Being irradiated.
That is a lot of people.
Basically, security procedures that doesn't actually give you any much more of a safety pass than the traditional pat down or even the enhanced pat downs.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't. I've gotten that from the Department of Transport themselves. Have said, there's no difference between the thera pat down and the radiation scanners, apart from the fact that one's quicker, sadly.
Look, just going to take a quick break here and we'll be right back. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Welcome back to the show. I'm here today talking to Anthony Hall from the UK. Anthony Hall is a radiographer. And he wrote an article for the Manchester Evening News criticising the use of full-body X-ray scanners. And we've been going through some of the medical issues with that. Anthony, this is a complex problem because we have privacy, health and civil rights issues all combined into one problem. Well, can you just give your opinion on that? I mean, because many people find that the pat downs are equally a problem. I know that's not your area of expertise, but it's the people in America who are being subjected to these alternative screening methods are feeling violated. But the ones who go through the scanners, of course, apart from the medical effects, people are seeing their naked body. I mean, it's just a horrendous situation that we're in.
Yeah. I can appreciate sort of the difficulties faced with that the airports are actually facing. I mean, in relation to that, they have to keep everybody safe. Somewhere there must be a line drawn whereby they say, right, you must give up part of your privacy or freedom in order to ensure people are safe. But it's at what level they're expecting people to go to. I myself have had an enhanced pat-down coming back from the States.
Okay.
And I felt much more secure having the enhanced pat-down than I did going through the scanner. That's... The security guard, when I said, I don't want to go through this scanner, can I offer something else, was absolutely shocked at the fact I was choosing a pat-down over this scan.
Right.
She could barely believe it.
Right, right.
But pat-down was, I personally didn't find it as if it was groping or as if it was anything like that. I mean, some people say that they felt like they've been molested and things like that. Well, I personally didn't. The technique that the particular security guard used was a technique that you might use sort of like within the medical profession if I have to touch patients in order to get images, and it's like the open palm technique.
Okay.
Can use, and I didn't find it at all invasive or sexual. I found it very, very securing at the fact that at the end they took rubber gloves off.
Okay.
And then they put them in a chemical sniffer dog to check for any traces of explosives. You wouldn't have seen that on a body scanner.
Absolutely, yeah. And I guess you're very aware of the scientific and technological issues with the machines, and you find the scanners to be particularly a problem, whereas a lot of people would say, well, it's easier to walk through the scanner, it's going to be quicker, and I'm not being touched. So most people will opt for the scanner, not knowing all of the risks. Are you aware that from my research, most of the people who work in the airports, including ground crew, including all those people who work in the shops, and in the United States, most airport all the shops are inside the secure areas. But most of the people working in those secure areas don't actually go through the scanning system.
I was aware of that. And just in Manchester Airport, after people pass through security, they say that I was talking to a couple of people myself, saying, "Well, do you have to go through that to get through the secure area?" And they were like, "Oh, no, we just get our bags searched."
Yeah, and that even includes people who go on. It's ridiculous. I mean, it even includes people who go on the planes and clean the planes.
Yeah. Even flight attendants as well. I've got a couple of friends who work for a large airline,
right?
International airline, and they've turned around and said, "We've honestly never been through the body scanner." They've said roughly around about 10% of the time they might be searched, but other than that, they just get through. So even they see it as an absolute joke at the fact that they're bringing these scanners and that people are getting, that there's people there who don't have to go through them, who are actually permitted to fly.
Absolutely. I mean, if I were a terrorist and I really wanted to get something on the plane, I'd try to get someone, you know, probably in the ground crews, you know, who get onto the planes every time the plane takes off. You know, there's a myriad of things that the terrorists could do to bypass these systems. They could have people working in the shops. You know, you can buy a bottle of water in the airport shop and take it straight on the plane. No one cares. But if you try to bring a bottle of water through security, you won't be allowed. Well, I mean, but there's huge shops full of bottles of water and all different types of fluids. I mean, I'm pretty sure I can't prove this, but I'm pretty sure none of that gets scanned. You know, because it would be just too inconvenient. It would be impossible to run those businesses if all that sort of stuff had to be scanned. So on one level, this is an elaborate theatre to create the sense of security where there is no security. But
I agree with that completely. Like I just see this as a big thing where, but to try and just bombard the general public with lots of different bits of information about feeling safe and things like that, when actually the body scanners don't offer any extra security enhancements at all that weren't already in place. It just seems silly.
And of course, there's no logical reason why you would, if you believed in the effectiveness of this technology, which the Department of Homeland Security apparently does, there is no reason why you'd say it should only be used in airports. If you believed this technology was effective and you believed there was terrorism, then there would be logical steps to then start using it in shopping malls, to then start using it in any public places. And And we have already seen steps towards that in the US. They have already said that they're going to do that. They're doing it in courthouses. They're already doing it in prisons. So it's not going to stop at the airports. That's the problem. And I think a lot of people don't quite understand that. Would you agree? People just think, oh, well, that's just something we do on planes to keep us safe. No, it's something that they're testing out now in airports, and they can roll it out in virtually any way they want if we let them, if we agree to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Manchester Airport itself in the UK is a privately owned company. It's privately run. And if they roll out the technology there and things like that, there's nothing stopping your local nightclub, your local bar, your local theatre, your local anywhere introducing these scanners. Anyone can. I could myself now buy a RapiScan scanner, stick it outside my front door and say, you're not getting in unless you go through it. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
Anybody can buy one. So yeah, it doesn't just stop at airports or train stations or anything like that. It can be rolled out within the private sector of nightclubs and everything like that.
And of course, the fact is that if there are people out there who want to harm you, to harm society, if they want to create havoc and terrorism, there will always be things that they can do. I mean, for example, having travelled through the US recently, I saw these giant queues of people at JFK Airport queuing up to go through the security system, but there was about 1,000 people in the entrance of the airport queuing up to go through this the security system. Well, why bother getting on a plane when you've got 1,000 people there? You just join the queue and blow yourself up. I mean, it's so illogical, isn't it? I mean, do you find that? It's just...
If you think about the way the scanner works, the back scanner produces a, in quotation marks, naked body image of the person travelling on the plane. Now, they've said themselves that the technology only penetrates within the skin surface. It doesn't penetrate more than 1 centimetre into the skin surface. That there just tells me that I've got plenty of places I can hide a bomb that would be deeper than 1 centimetre into the skin surface.
Indeed, you could swallow it. You could put it in your rectum.
You could swallow it. Yeah, you could store it in the rectum, and anything like that. And the scanners wouldn't pick them up, and yet they'd go through the scanner, be shown as being technically clear because they're not holding anything towards the skin surface, and then be permitted to travel. It's just absolutely stupid. All the images they show you of the body scanners are people with guns in the back pocket, knives strapped to the side, and things like that. That's not how people would board a plane. If I wanted to get a knife on a plane, I certainly wouldn't stick it to my skin.
Right.
Knowing fine well that you're going to go through a pat down or anything like that. I mean, it's just silly how they can just say, oh, yeah, well, we can prove lack of concealment by going through this scanner. You can't. There's plenty of concealment areas within the human body. And you just can't say that it's an adequate method of proving lack of concealment. It's silly.
And then, of course, there's, you know, the privacy issue of having your naked body viewed by someone who's really just an employee. And we've seen with the TSA so many cases of criminal behavior. They've been stealing from people. They've been abusing people. They've been using the scanners to actually, sexually humiliate other workers. We see the dark side of the technology already. I mean, what do you think about that?
I personally find that very disheartening more than anything. It does produce kind of like a naked outline of the body, if you wish, and you would think that they would have adequately security, like screening of the staff themselves to make sure that this can't go on. I do know that they're rolling out a stick figure alternative now to try and combat that.
Indeed. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because that's the one that they intend to bring into Australia, because they've kind of been watching, the uproar overseas about this, and they're trying to make it more palatable for people. And they've said, well, we're going to bring them in Australia, but it's only going to be the stick figure version. Now, I mean, I work with computer technology, and I know that in any type of computer technology imaging system, you'd have a number of different views you could use. You might have like a flesh tone view, a wireframe version, a stick figure version. You wouldn't want to limit the technology to only be able to do one type of thing. And I'm just thinking practically that would be a very unlikely and stupid way to design the technology, because in case you did find something that was send up a warning signal, you probably would want to see it in more detail because you're trying to find something. So the stick figure version apparently just puts a red dot, but I'm just saying because we know that they made claims before that they couldn't print the images, and then we've seen those claims to be proven false. And I'm very, very suspicious about any claims they make when they say, oh, this technology can only do this and it can't do that. I think that we as the taxpayers in our respective countries who are actually paying for all this ultimately need to, and the people who are traveling who are paying for the airlines, who's probably have to pay for some of this themselves. We are actually paying for this technology that is in a sense oppressing us. We need to draw the line and say, look, sorry, you haven't proven safety, you haven't proven honesty. That's the way I feel about it.
I do agree with that, because they certainly haven't proven the safety aspect of it, and certainly everything that they've said that these scanners, that people want to do with these scanners, has happened with the scanners.
Yeah.
They have said that images will never be stored. They have said this, that the people who were responsible for taking the pictures have had adequate training and things like that. And yet we see images circulated, and we've seen the fact that they haven't proven that they've contributed towards the security. And I think the information that they're putting out there in relation to the safety of these machines is just very, very misleading. Very misleading.
Just going to take another quick break. Just bear with us. Here's a song by Thievery Corporation, Amerimaka. Thank you.
inside the tapa tapa. And a Mary Marker, this one is like a taka taka. Say Mary Marker, me know them and that singer. Say Mary Marker, me know them and that taka. Me see the whole of them and man the whole of it a shatter shatter. Me see the dreams are shatter. Me look up on the sky, man. Me see a little atta atta. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome back. Anthony, we've got about another 15 minutes of the interview, and I'd like to just get into the question now of what we can do. And this is really the most important question. What can we do? There's countries all around the world that have this problem with the invasion of privacy, the obstruction of civil rights, the kind of totalitarian aspect of this, coupled with a commercial exploitation. Because we know that Michael Chertoff invested in I think it's Rapiscan, or it's a company that was producing the scanners. He invested in that before the underwear bombing incident. And then after the underwear bombing incident, Michael Chertoff leaves the Department of Homeland Security and then goes into the private field. And then we have, because of that underwear thing, we have now the scanners being rolled out. I mean, but, you know, it's this, we're being exploited commercially. There's people within the top levels of government who seem to have their fingers in the pie, getting a benefit from it. And there's a worldwide problem in many countries. It's not just your country, it's not just my country, but it's countries that claim to be democracies interfering with people's rights. What can we do?
Basically, you do have a voice, you do have a choice. If you don't want to put up with the technology, if you don't want to be subjected to all this, is you can just basically turn around and say, like, I will no longer fly from your airport while you have these measures in place. You can petition your local MPs, that's like for us, it's like the Member of Parliament and the government, to just turn around and say, apply for things under, I don't know if in Australia you have the Freedom of Information Act or anything like that, or... or anything, to find out information about the different areas of what powers and rights you actually have. Certainly in England, they're trying to take those rights away from us, the civil rights and everything like that, by forcing us through these scanners to say, scan or don't travel. And certainly now I don't fly, and I won't be flying until the policy and procedures have changed.
Of course, that can be extremely, you know, damaging to your livelihood if you need to fly for business. It can be, accepting that one can't fly in this world today is just really, it's making us almost prisoners, especially in Australia.
Yeah. Certainly in terms of businesses, it's a businesses could have the power. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in, because at the end of the day, we are being forced to accept this technology, and we are being forced to accept this new loss of rights and these new enhancements and things like that.
Now, I don't know what you think about this, Anthony, but I'm a great advocate in the concept of non-violent Gandhian type resistance. I actually think that people need to, in some sense, throw themselves on the gears and levers to force this issue to become a media worthy topic. I mean, we've had some protests where people, you know, stripped down to their underwear and, you know, protested outside the scanners. That's been done in a couple of countries. It was done here last year. I think they did it in Germany. But I think it actually really needs to go a little further than that. I think people need to actually step beyond the comfort zone in terms of saying, look, I want to get on that plane and I don't agree with you putting me through this procedure. I'm going to get on the plane. Now, that actually forces them to actually arrest you. Now, I'm certainly not advocating any type of violence, but the non-violent resistance method basically forces them to take the action against you, which then highlights the injustice of what they're doing. I don't know what you think about that.
That if you are able to do that, then that will be good. That would be a brilliant standpoint, to be honest. But then again, you have the fact that people who are business people and things like that. And take myself for example.
Yeah.
If I get so much as a criminal caution from the police, I lose my job.
And that is part of the control grid. See, that is how people can be controlled.
Part of the control. So for me personally, I would love to take that standpoint and just walk up and say, I'm getting on that flight regardless.
Mm.
If I'm arrested, though, then they'll turn around and say, well, I'm sorry, you can no longer work as a diagnostic radiographer. You're no longer fit to practice as a radiographer or produce medical reports for people. And that is the kind of control that they have. Now, it would come down for me personally would that be a big enough sacrifice that I would be willing to make? And for me personally, no, it's not. I've just chosen not to fly from any airport what has these scanners in place. But if that was the non-violent political protest, I would actually be well up for that. But
I think we need to illustrate this, you know, for our listeners, hopefully you can go on some more radio shows. I'm quite sure that Alex Jones over in the US would be very keen to have you on, because anyone with technical knowledge who can really speak with expert knowledge is very, very important in this debate.
Yeah, I'd be more than willing to fight the corner to try and find some equal ground and some suitable alternatives whereby we're not losing our civil liberties, we're not being subjected to naked screenings or searches or anything like that. And we need to find an equilibrium whereby people are given an informed choice, and then an informed choice that doesn't actually infringe on any civil liberties.
Can I ask, Anthony, do you know which airports in the UK are using these devices?
At the moment there is London Heathrow, Glasgow, Manchester, and the rolling them out of Gatwick Airport now.
Okay, so that's quite a lot. So it's going to be pretty hard for you to fly.
Big major international airports.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know much about what's going on in Europe?
I don't know much about what's going on in Europe. I've been focusing mainly on the US.
Sure.
And I do know that Amsterdam airport and areas like that have got them in, but everywhere else that has these scanners in has an opt-out policy. You can't opt out of going through the scanners.
Right.
It is a cost of facing an enhanced pat-down, but at least that is the start of some kind of choice.
Well, it's interesting because in Australia, there hasn't been much news on this, but the one piece of news that did come out was that because there was such an uproar over the enhanced pat-downs, the government here said, we're not going to do the enhanced pat-down. You don't have to worry. You'll never get an enhanced pat-down. But the kicker is, if you don't go through the scan, you won't be able to fly. They're giving with one hand, taking away with the other, and it's ridiculous. So there we have it.
Certainly when it comes to the scanners, I can't see why they can't offer the person who's traveling, the passenger, an alternative, saying, do you want to go through these scans? Make them aware of the health risk of the scans, everything. I'd say, if you don't want this, then we have this alternative whereby you can do this. Or we can have this alternative whereby we can do that. And I don't see why. And there's only one reason why they won't give the passenger that choice, and that's down to cost.
Right, right. So they're just trying to get it in the most convenient way for themselves, at with really no consideration for the effect it has on you and me. And of course, you know, people of all different ages, people of all different sensitivities, people who are. I mean, women who've been sexually molested find it very difficult to be touched, okay? And also mothers who see their children being touched there. And now, this was a case recently where a six-year-old girl was put through, and the mother made a really important statement about this. She said, if I allow my daughter to become accustomed to a man in a blue uniform feeling every part of her body, she could become vulnerable to a sexual predator because it's a form of conditioning. And she is very serious about this, and that's why she's become now an activist. She was married to a doctor, had no activism in her past. But when she saw this happen to her child, she believes it is such a serious situation that really will lead to children like her daughter one day being vulnerable to sexual predators, because it's just accustoming you to that type of behavior. So look, it's hard to get into the subject because we've got so many different areas to talk about, but
it is an absolute minefield, isn't it? It's difficult to know what area to cover, what angle to come from. They say it's all about profiling as well to ensure about the security of the airports, and that in itself brings around a lot of different things. I mean, my nana, she was 88. She got enhanced searched and things like that. That's my grandmother.
Right.
And it's just like really does an 88. The old woman who's grew up in a mining village really need to be subjected. It's things like that. Is she really cast as being a high risk of being a terrorist?
Certainly defies common sense.
It does. That's what it seems to be a lack of, but it's common sense in the midst of sort of not defending any particular culture, any particular race, or anything like that. Yes, I am just as much a risk as blowing up a plane as anybody else. But it just defines any kind of meaning or understanding of anything there.
Now, of course, there have been alternatives proposed. Janet Napolitano, director of the Department of Homeland Security, recently said that she would like to move towards a trusted traveller program that would allow people to sort of fast track through. And if you're in a trusted traveller program, they have all this biometric data on you. And now there's a whole other nightmare scenario.
How much biometric data do you want yourself to be stored?
There's a whole other nightmare scenario there of that. and the idea that that they would basically have every bit of information, you know, maybe in an RFID chip in a card, or maybe an RFID chip in your arm. I mean, that's the ultimate end to that, or maybe even something even beyond that. But of course, once we allow the state to have that level of control and that level of information, you know, the threat of the RFID chips, if they became used in such a way that they became ubiquitous, is that if the chip was turned off, you wouldn't be able to do anything. If the chip was turned off, you wouldn't be able to buy, you wouldn't be able to fly, you wouldn't be able to travel. And because you would give those who control the system that power over it. And do we ever want to surrender that degree of power to any authority? Because is the risk of surrendering our autonomy and our sovereignty greater than the risk of, you know, the terrorist, the criminal, the bad person out there who might want to do us harm? And I think that's where the debate really needs to start looking at the relative risks. We've seen in the past, whenever you have a totalitarian system that has supreme power and abrogates the rights of individuals, I've studied history, we've all looked at it, we saw what happened in the fascist societies of the 1930s, we've seen what happens in China, we've seen what happens in North Korea, we've seen many examples of this over time. It seems pretty clear, you know, the there is a risk to having freedom. Yes, there is a risk. If you don't want to have a nanny state looking over you and watching your every move, then bad accidents can happen, bad people can do things. But if you give the state that level of power, the state with that level of power can commit crimes on a staggering level way beyond that.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't like a mass amount of biometric data on me stored by the government, because I do think that would be a massive loss of power. I mean, we're rolling out retina scanning to pass through security here, whereby you can log your retina. You can get your retina scanned, and then as you travel through, if you're a frequent flyer, you can just pop your head in the retina scanners, and then that lets you pass through that field recently and lets somebody in on somebody else's passport.
Really?
So yeah, I think that was Glasgow, actually, I think. There are ways and means, but again, if you go through the retina scanners, you still have to go through the scan machines as well as get your retina scanned to prove that you can pass through.
Well, of course, yeah, it won't. That's a very good point. Just because they bring in the biometric scanners doesn't mean they won't also scan you and possibly also give you the enhanced pat-down. Because in the US, some people are getting a scan and enhanced pat-down. That is actually occurring. It's not necessarily an either-or. Sometimes they do both. So we could have retinal scans, X-ray scanners, and pat-downs.
Ultimately, I mean, where does it stop? At what point do you actually turn around and think, well, hang on a sec, it's a risk versus benefit ratio all the time, isn't it? And things like that, and it gets to the point of how far do you want to go in order to prove the safety on a plane. It's even the Trusted Traveller program. It's like, if you look at the disaster that happened at 9/11, that was a terrorist like cell group, if you like. So much planning, time and thought and consideration and everything went into those attacks. Now to say that this security scanner or this enhanced method of being searched is going to stop all that.
Well, all they had was box cutters. I mean, all they had was these harmless-looking things that I'm sure you could still get a box cutter through. Like, probably not in your pocket, but there'd be ways of getting things like that through. And, of course, you know, there's a whole questions about that. But, I mean, they were just box cutters. I mean, you could do the same thing with a pen, couldn't you? I mean, if a pen could be quite a dangerous weapon if used appropriately, especially, say, a fountain pen or something. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
you're not even allowed tweezers or anything remotely sharp in your hand luggage or anything like that, and that's why they have the fluid restrictions and things. But it just seems
But they get through anyway. I mean, many people have said they've been able to get these things through because they miss it. They don't detect it. You know, they're not 100%. You know, they can't. You put your bags through the X-ray scanners that go through the machine. And I mean, have you ever actually had a chance to see what type of images they produce when you put your bags through?
Yeah, and I've seen the type of images that they produce. They produce sort of like a coloured image.
How detailed is it?
It appears quite detailed. I mean, you have to have a trained eye to know what you're spotting for. Like anything, yeah. when you're looking at something that's an actual image, you do have to have an eye for it. And the things I've seen, like even anyone can Google the images for airport baggage and just look and see what you can actually spot.
Sure.
But again, they're using things like X-ray technology, and unfortunately, X-rays do not show everything.
Yeah, yeah. There definitely be something.
Things and elements and certain things that X-rays will not show.
I mean, there'd probably be some form.
So,
is that you go? Sorry.
No, and I'm just saying that it is probably, and it is just a case of like, yeah, that there never ever will be 100% secure or permanent. But the thing that they're trying to stop terrorism and things like that, and the things that they're subjecting the general public and traveller to in order to combat this so-called terrorism, it isn't working. It's not working. They're asking for more and more and more. When in fact, if a terrorist group does want to try and bring down a plane or something like that, they're not going to do it by walking through a rapid scanner or anything like that. It would be much more planned and detailed than that. It wouldn't be just like the underwear bomber and things like that, and the shoe bomber. There's a reason why their bombs failed, and it wasn't just because it just failed to detonate. It was because they didn't have everything they needed in order for detonation to happen. I think the liquid had to be stored at minus 20 or something like that before it would actually be cast as an explosive. And it's just absolutely stupid that
would be used as a pretext. Yes, I mean, the underwear bomber didn't even have detonators in his. He had plastic explosives with no detonators or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, and the there was the shoe bomber as well, and things like that. And the shouting in the media that these were failed terrorist attacks because of the vigilance and things like that, and that's why they need this and this. And when in fact, actually, the reason why they failed was because they didn't have the right equipment in the first place to detonate it.
They just weren't even able to.
It would have actually gone up. But it's just trying to blind the general public and becoming these submissive kind of yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir society, and we're not. We shouldn't be subjected to all this in the name of trying to protect against terrorists when it doesn't.
Absolutely. Anthony, are you planning to write any more articles? Have you got any more steps that you'd like to take in this cause?
At the minute, in the UK, there are petitions out there in the UK whereby the odd groups have got together to sign petitions to argue against the scanners. I'm in contact with the Department of Transport and my local Member of Parliament and the Ombudsman to try and see where we can go from here. Now, unfortunately, all the petitions can't come together as one big combined protest.
Right.
So I said, well, can I take this 5,000 signatures with that 10,000 signatures and make 15? No, I have to set up a brand new petition. And the UK government has a law whereby any petition that obtains more than 100,000 signatures must be addressed in Parliament. And I think for me in the UK, that would be the ultimate goal, because if I can get that amount of signatures, I get to keep my job because I haven't been arrested.
Right,
And also I get to get this issue of the body scanners and how ineffective they are addressed in our actual parliamentary government.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that, and I will be following it carefully, because whatever success you have, hopefully we can replicate that here in Australia. So we'll definitely be following that closely.
Yeah, no problem.
Great. Well, that's about it for today. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And I'll be circulating this interview around, and I really hope that you get picked up by some other shows and do some more interviews. I think it'd be very valuable.
No problem. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your
thanks.
Time.
Thank Cheers. You. Bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. That was really an eye-opener. And what can we do? I mean, I do what I can. If everyone can just do what they can, I think we can change this. But we really do need to realize now that it's up to the citizens to do something. So I hope that if you listen to the show, pass it on. I really want to see this man on other shows, and I really want to see more people like him coming out. We have probably thousands of radiographers in Australia. We haven't had one of them speak out yet. We need that. We need to see that happening. So let's make it happen. And that's it for Truth News Radio Australia, and I'll be back very soon with another show. Good night and good luck.